And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. Hi, I'm Rob West. This verse is a powerful reminder that God is our ultimate provider, no matter the economic uncertainties we face. Recently, we've seen that many have been concerned about trade tariffs and their potential impact on the economy. Today, Bob Dahl joins us to break down what this means and what we can expect moving forward. Then we have lots of great listener questions ahead, but we won't be taking your live calls today because this program is pre-recorded. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Well, it's a blessing to have Bob Dahl with us again. Bob is the CEO and Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments, an underwriter of this program. Bob is also a regular contributor here on Faith and Finance. And Bob, great to have you back.
A privilege as always.
Bob, there's been so much talk about tariffs these days. The tariffs are on, the tariffs are off. And without getting into the debate about whether they're a good idea or not, let's just talk about what folks can expect if we have tariffs, either in the near future or longer term.
Well, as you said, it depends on the day of the week. It's on one That's day, right. off the next, Rob. Tariffs are a tax. Yeah. So if we have to pay 10% more for goods that are coming into this country that we want to buy, the price goes up. So that's what we can expect if tariffs are really put in place and left there. As we've seen in recent days, they can be, as we just said, on again, off again, because they're also used as a bargaining tool, a threat, flexing our muscle, if you will.
Bob, whenever we have more talk of tariffs, the market seems to respond on the downside. What is that signaling?
Well, it tells us, as common wisdom would agree, that tariffs slow economic growth. Why? Because if you have to pay more for your widgets, you can't buy as many widgets as you did before. Or you can buy widgets, but you can't buy apples and oranges along with it. So it is a dampener on growth. That's why the market doesn't like it.
Yeah. Bob, you mentioned it can dampen growth. Could it cause us by itself to slip into recession?
If big enough and long enough and there are enough people striking back and it becomes a global thing, absolutely. It's a trade war, and a trade war is not healthy for economic growth and could push us in the recession. I think cooler minds will not permit that to happen because they can be taken off just as fast as they're put on.
Yeah. And Bob, what would you say is President Trump's big idea here? Is it really all about a negotiating tactic, or is there a meaningful trade imbalance he's trying to solve for in some cases?
Well, there's no question the trade imbalance goes against the U.S. with too many countries. So that's part of his game here. But he's smart enough to know that he doesn't want to sink the economy because that only makes things worse. So I think it's more a bargaining tool and a threat than anything else.
Yeah, that's helpful. Bob, obviously, this brings uncertainty that can lead down the road to fear. What encouragement would you give to our listeners in these times?
I would say several things. Number one, Donald Trump cares about his legacy, and the economy and the stock market are high on his list. So don't be overly concerned. Number two, the economy is pretty good, whether we have tariffs or not. So we've got some wind at our back. More importantly, God knows the end from the beginning in all things, including tariffs. You read that Philippians passage at the beginning, I'll add from the Psalms. He's our refuge. He's our fortress. We can dwell in the shelter of the Most High God.
That's well said. Bob, we can't control U.S. GDP or the tax code or the Federal Reserve or the president. We can control our own little economies, what passes through our hands. And so that means stewardship, right?
It sure does. We need to take care of everything God's given us. Yes, money is the subject here, but all of life, our minds, our bodies, everything God's given us. But stick to what God's given you and your little economy, as you put it, and you'll be okay.
Bob, as we wrap up here today, I know you and your wife, Leslie, have spent a lot of time talking, teaching, participating in generosity. It breaks the grip of money over our lives. What would you leave us with today around that?
Recognize that it is not ours. It's all God's. And so parting with it is a sweet thing, not a difficult thing. And we're also not citizens of this planet. We're citizens of a different place. And so let it go.
I love it. Well, Bob, we're so thankful for you, the calm that you bring in the midst of the uncertainty and for your great work in faith-based investing as well. Thanks for stopping by today.
Good to be your partner.
That's Bob Dahl, CEO and Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments, a leader in faith-based investing. You can learn more at crossmarkglobal.com. As I said, we're off today, so don't call in, but we've got some great calls lined up in advance, so we'll go to those just around the corner. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Impatience is a common struggle. We want what we want, and we want it now. And in the digital age, we're getting used to getting things faster and faster and faster, but God doesn't work like that. So often He makes us wait, perhaps for no other reason than for us to grow in character, to learn to trust Him, so we can learn by experience how, as Psalm 46 says, to be still and know that I am God. And in fact, sometimes it's only when we sit still that God moves us forward. Are you feeling impatient about anything today? This is your chance to be still and know that He is God. Get started with Anchor Devotional today. Visit getanchor.com.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson.
We have not been made the greatest nation in the history of mankind by denigrating God. We have become the greatest nation on earth because we are a nation that acknowledged Almighty God to be the source of our values, our rights, our liberties, and that therefore we are accountable to Him.
The Awakening on the podcast page at AFR.net.
FaithFi is grateful for support from OneAscent. OneAscent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. OneAscent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good. To explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values, more information is available at OneAscent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
Well, I'm so thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Hey, let me ask you a question. Have you ever read the Bible through cover to cover? Well, if you haven't done it, I recommend it. When you look at the scope of God's Word from Genesis to Revelation, you'll see a lot of recurring themes. One of those is the concept of abundance. Now, the dictionary defines abundance as the condition of being in rich supply. Who wouldn't want to be in God's rich supply? Unfortunately, time after time in Scripture, we read of God's people rejecting His abundance and running after worldly pleasures or selfish desires instead. From the beginning, God's plan was for His creation to experience abundance. God created an Eden to be a place of abundance. He told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply. Unfortunately, they rejected abundance by disobeying God. Well, later, God rescued Israel from slavery in Egypt and led them to a new place of abundance, a land filled with milk and honey. Over time, God's people got complacent and rebellious. We read this, you know, over and over in the Old Testament. They were worshiping pagan gods, and worse, they lost their abundance again and ended up in exile. You see, this cycle happens over and over, and as people traded God's blessings for their own convenience, greed, and sin, that seems to be the story of our time as well, doesn't it?
Finally, God's promises of abundance reach their fulfillment in Christ, who says that in John 10:10, I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. You see, Jesus sealed that promise by dying on the cross, taking our sin, disobedience, and shame on himself. His resurrection broke the power of death once and for all. Now you and I can live abundantly without fear. Now, of course, the story of God's abundance doesn't end with our redemption. Jesus promised his followers that he would return in glory. In John 14:3, he says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." So Christians look forward to Jesus' return and ultimately to eternal blessings in heaven. Now, in Psalm 66:12, it says, "We went through fire and water, but you brought us to a place of abundance." The psalmist was referring to God leading Israel into the promised land, but the same goes for God's people today. Heaven is our promised land, and we look forward to enjoying God's abundance there. Now, that's the good news. You see, whether or not you've read through the whole Bible, you can still experience God's abundance today, and it really has nothing to do with how much money you have. In Christ, we can all experience God's love, his amazing grace, his complete peace, and the hope of heaven. Our gratitude for these blessings should stimulate our praise and our desire to serve and help others too. So I hope maybe today you reflect just a bit on God's gift of abundance as you think about it, search the scriptures, and live in the reality of it. All right, let's get into your questions today. We're going to begin in Memphis, Tennessee. Marjorie, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking the time to talk with me.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a question. What is safe to invest in that does not violate biblical principles, such as, you know, we're not supposed to engage in usury or foreclose on widows and that kind of thing?
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you thinking about that, Marjorie. You know, as we back up for a second and think about what it looks like to be an investor, we realize that the idea of deploying capital, which is what we're doing for business, which is really what investing is, you're supplying capital to business, and that goes all the way back to the, you know, God's design for economics, I think, in terms of a virtuous cycle of being created in God's image, being a worker, working hard with our hands, that we see clearly in Scripture, that results in, you know, blessing our neighbors and taking God's creation and ordering it and improving it, and there's economic expansion. But then through investments, which come on the scene in the 1400s and 1500s, particularly in the maritime trade where we were supplying or people were supplying capital to the ship builders and transporters that were bringing goods around the world, we see now investors are part owners of companies. And so you have to think about, okay, what is that ethical responsibility that's conferred there as I invest and deploy capital? And I think it's an opportunity we have to think about today as we're investors. Now, we're kind of one step removed from it through what we call the secondary market. So if you buy a stock on the stock exchange, or you buy it through a mutual fund in your 401k or something like that, you know, you're a very small percentage owner, and, you know, it just feels, you know, a little bit less connected than maybe somebody who is providing directly capital, you know, to corporations. And yet, I think Christians now are beginning to think more and more about which company should I own? And what if I want to avoid companies that are misaligned with my values? You know, perhaps I want to stay away from a company and a pharmaceutical company that produces an abortion pill, or I want to stay away from a company that, you know, in part either produces or distributes pornography or gambling and, you know, tobacco. I mean, we could talk about all kinds of things. The exciting thing, Marjorie, is that there is a whole industry that has now come into existence that really was in its infancy even 5 years ago that's maturing rapidly. We call it faith-based investing, and it's these fund families, mutual fund families, and it's bigger than that now even, that specifically invest in companies that would align with the values and priorities of Christians. So they kick out those companies that would be misaligned. They include companies that, you know, are promoting human flourishing and blessing, you know, their neighbors and through suppliers and customers and employees and all the rest. And even engaging corporately with these companies to affect change. So I love the direction you're thinking, and I think you have more choices now than ever. And the good news is you don't have to sacrifice any returns to do it. That's at least what the studies are saying. So let me give you a website to go to that will allow you to download a listing of about 11 mutual fund families that we track, that we have confidence in, are really seeking to invest in a way that produces an appropriate risk-adjusted return for their investors, but also to ensure that they're aligned with Christian values. That website, Marjorie, is faithandinvesting.com/faithfi. Let me say that again, faithandinvesting.com, and then put a forward slash on it, and then the name of our ministry, FaithFi, Faith F-I. And that will allow you to download a PDF, and what you're going to see on that is a listing of companies like Eventide and Timothy Plan and One Ascent and Praxis and Crossmark Global. And these are all companies that really are investing in a way that is intended to be God-honoring. Is that helpful?
It is. Now, this money was left to me, and it already had an advisor, so that advisor is in not one of those companies. So can't work along with them. I would have to change companies. Is that what you're
possibly thinking? That's a good question, Marjorie. So there's the advisor, and then there's the investments the advisor is picking, and most advisors would have the option, depending on which custodian they're using, to pick any number of fund families. So what I would do is use that document you're going to download as the starting point of a conversation to say, hey, can we talk about aligning my values with my investments? And I'd love for you to give me your thoughts on these particular companies and others like them that would allow me to be faith-based in my approach. Can you help me with that? If not, and you did decide to change to a new advisor, when you search for a certified kingdom advisor at faithfi.com, you can actually limit that search results to only those that do faith-based investing. You'll see find a professional at the top of the page at faithfi.com. But start with your advisor using that tool that I mentioned, and I think that'll get you going. Thanks for your call. Be right back.
A phenomenon of new media is the proliferation of streaming. There are many, many streaming channels, and believe it or not, not all of them are providing wholesome content. For that, you can visit stream.afa.net. There you'll find Christian-based lessons and sermons, as well as original movies from American Family Studios. You'll also find video versions of some of your favorite AFR programs. Media has changed, but there's still good stuff available. Find it at stream.afa.net.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
As an AFA insider, you're part of a community that stands strong for biblical values and works tirelessly to influence culture and policy with truth. Advancing biblical values and ensuring a stronger, upright America for our families and future generations. AFA Insider, formerly AFA Alert, informs you first about AFA's mission and aiding the church in its task of fulfilling the Great Commission. Sign up to receive AFA Insider emails at afa.net.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
American Family Association President Tim Wildman.
Dad was concerned about the direction America was headed, and he was determined to do something about it. Maybe that describes you today. If it does, I want to strongly encourage you to consider a charitable gift annuity to American Family Association Foundation.
Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Helping you see God as your ultimate treasure, that's our vision here at FaithFi, that all Christians would operate that way, and that we would see money as a tool, and we would allow our faith to inform our money decisions for God's glory. We want to help you do that in the context of the specific questions you have in your financial life. So let's head right back to the phones. Hoffman Estates, Illinois. Diane, how can I help?
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm interested in, thank you. I'm interested in online banking, which I've heard you promote and have mentioned that you can get better interest rates through bankrate.com, list of banks that are giving, I don't know right now, but 4 or 5% in their checking accounts. So I want to understand a little bit more about that. So right now we only have done the brick and mortar type bank and they have physical checks. Do you need to set up, if you do an online banking system, automatic payment withdrawals for all your accounts that you pay out every month, or do you just use Zelle to Zelle the money over regularly? So that was one issue I was wondering about. And then also, I don't know, in the Wall Street Journal, there was an article about somebody set up an online account to get good interest rates, and she had been saving for a house through this account, and it was something about there was an intermediate manager that was using an FDIC-approved bank, and so she thought it was fine, it was an FDIC-approved bank, but she ended up somehow losing the money, or it's tied up, and there's a lawsuit going. How do you know if this online bank is legitimate, even if, because she said that it was through an FDIC-insured bank.
Hmm. Yeah, interesting. I'm not familiar with the article, but that's a fascinating story, and I'd like to learn more. So I would love to know more, and I can check it out. I know, there has been some instances where customers face challenges accessing their funds due to the intermediary banks that you've described. I'm not sure about this particular article, and I think that's where you need to, read some reviews and understand, exactly how your funds are being managed and the entities involved in handling the money and the relationships between the banks and their intermediaries. So I'll do some work on looking that up. I will say, though, that the interest rates you're describing are not found on checking accounts, but really high-yield savings. So what we generally recommend is that you could go with a brick-and-mortar bank for your checking account and then open an online high-yield savings account. You can get that 4 or 4.5%, link the two electronically. Or, you could open a checking and savings at something like Christian Community Credit Union, join ChristianCommunity.com if you want your values reflected well and the higher interest rates. I will say, just kind of generally speaking, with regard to online banks, you're not eliminating, the paper form of transactions. You don't have to pay for everything electronically with an online bank. So you can do electronic bill pay with mailed checks. So using their banking system to schedule a bill payment, and then the bank will actually mail a physical check on your behalf. most of them, if not all of them, with checking accounts that I'm aware of, even the online banks will still allow you to write and send physical checks yourself. So the online banking doesn't replace your ability to use physical checks. It just offers the additional convenience. And then you can do cash payments as well. So you would be a part with an online bank of a large network of ATMs that would allow you to access cash that way. And then beyond that, you would have, you know, some of the newer forms of payment that you mentioned, like Zelle and others. But you certainly don't get rid of the physical, payments. You just don't have the branches. And so in that case, you would be doing, you know, deposits through the app typically, or a local ATM, but the app is the most convenient way. So I think, you know, using Bankrate's 5-star rating system, being with a large bank that's reputable, where you're not going to have any of these challenges that would be fairly isolated from some of these banks, you know, involving intermediaries or potential risks there, you know, I think you'd be in great shape. And keep in mind, you know, these days, even with the brick and mortar banks, and by the way, they're all subject to the same reserve requirements and regulatory requirements in terms of the amount they keep, you know, on reserves and making sure you have access to your money, and then the FDIC stepping in if they were to fail. But even the brick and mortar banks now are moving more heavily to the online banking services just because their clients are demanding it because it's so convenient. But is all that helpful to you, though?
Oh, yes, yes. Thank you very much. I'm going to review it all through your I couldn't write that fast, so I'm going to listen again to it online. Thank you so much for taking the time to answer this.
Absolutely. Happy to, Diane. And after you review it, if you have further questions, don't hesitate to reach back out to us. We'd love to tackle anything on your mind today. We appreciate you being on the program. Lord bless you. You know, I did mention that our partner at Christian Community Credit Union can be a great option. They have a great 5% savings account rate right now for accounts up to $5,000. And, you know, the benefit there is, and we're seeing this more and more with our listeners, they're just saying, listen, I want to eliminate those companies that are promoting or supporting things that I disagree with, and maybe using company profits for, you know, political endeavors or social agendas or political, you know, aspirations. And even if we don't have that going on, just the chance to work with in this case, a credit union that's going to be taking a part of the profits and supporting Christian ministry just makes a lot of our listeners feel really good. So if that's something you want to learn more about, our friends at Christian Community Credit Union could be a great option. Again, that website, joinchristiancommunity.com. And the only requirement is for you to be a believer. All right, we've got a whole stack of questions here that I'm going to get to just after this break. So don't go anywhere. We got a lot of good ones coming up. I've got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Empty stomachs, waterborne illnesses, hopelessness. These are harsh realities for impoverished African children, but you can make a difference. Join with Cross International to share the love of Jesus with a child in critical need today. Each gift of $62 provides a child with life-saving resources. Give now at crossinternational.org/faith or 866-843-9500 and help kids go from barely surviving to thriving.
We don't have to be like the 10 that said it can't be done, it's too big, the giants are too big. We need to be like Joshua and Caleb and say, you know what, there are giants. This is a massive problem. When you have a nation that is ignorant of the principles that produce a free society, start where you can. It's the only way I know. It's a little bit at a time.
Join Walker Wildman and Rick Green as they tackle today's issues from a biblical and a constitutional perspective. At the Core, 1 p.m. Central weekdays on AFR.
Healthcare is complicated. It doesn't have to be. If you don't love how your health insurance works, maybe it's time to leave traditional health insurance behind. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers you flexibility. Enroll anytime. Choose your own provider and select the program that fits your needs and budget. CHM is the original faith-based way of taking care of your medical bill costs. Learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
God has entrusted his finances to you.
And we at FaithFi have designed our FaithFi app to help you live, give, owe, and grow with that perspective. Our FaithFi app is the leading biblically-based finance app. You can manage your money, get top biblical financial resources, and interact with a community of like-minded believers, where you can ask questions, get answers, and share what you're learning. Go to faithfi.com and click the word app to get started.
AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Our team is away today, so don't call in, but we lined up some great questions in advance, and we'll be going to those here in just a moment. Let me also remind you that the advice that I give each day on this program is general in nature. We offer principles and ideas that apply at a high level. They are not personalized, so that's why you should always seek professional financial advice. And if you'd like to find a professional who shares your values, we, of course, here at Faith and Finance recommend the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation. These are men and women who've met high standards, and they've been trained to bring a biblical worldview of financial decision-making. You can find one at faithfi.com. We'll go to Indianapolis. Hi, Roger. How can I help?
I'd like to ask you a question about my money that's in a thrift savings program. It's about 40K, maybe. I don't know. I'm 72 and a half, and they said I had to withdraw it, and I just want to know how to draw it with the least taxes and the least trouble, so that I might be able to give it later on to family members or to charities or whatever. So Can you tell me any information you might have?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So this is a TSP. So this is pre-tax money that you put in as a part of your service, right? But it's in a pre-tax environment, and they're telling you you have to take it out of thrift savings, but they're not necessarily saying you have to withdraw it, right? Could you transfer it to an IRA?
Well, I think so.
You should be able to. There shouldn't be any problem there. So what you would typically want to do, Roger, is transfer this money from the thrift savings plan to an individual retirement account, an IRA. You would want to decide ahead of time, is that one you're going to make the decisions on yourself, or are you going to hire an advisor to do that? If it's, $40,000, you're probably going to be below the minimum of what an advisor would require. So you'd probably just want to set up that IRA yourself at Charles Schwab or Fidelity, something like that. And then you'd have the thrift savings plan just, directly roll over the money by, essentially electronically transferring the money directly into your IRA. You don't want it payable to you. And then you fund the IRA. You want it to go straight to the IRA, so it's not a taxable withdrawal. And now that you are over 70 and a half, you do have the option, once it gets into the IRA, to pull this money out as a qualified charitable distribution. And so then it goes not to you again, but straight from your IRA to a charity or your church or a ministry of your choice. And then you're never going to pay tax on the money. You didn't pay it when it went into the thrift savings. You're not going to pay it when it rolls over to the IRA. And finally, you're not going to pay it as it's distributed out directly to a ministry or charity of choice. So that's going to be the way to do that. And then secondly, if you did want to give some away as a gift to a family member, well, that's the point at which you would have to take the withdrawal, There's no way around paying the tax at that point. Whatever you take out that's not going directly to charity is going to be taxable. And then the only way to try to offset that tax would be is if, you know, you had charitable deductions or something that, you know, could allow you to offset that. But essentially, when you take it out, you'll pay tax on it, and then you'd be free to give it away to a family member of your choice. But does that all make sense, though?
It sure does. And I have another question.
Sure, go ahead.
Do you have an online site where I can find out this kind of information?
We do, yeah. You know, it'll be articles that are on topics around integrating your faith and finance. So, you know, less technical, more around just how does God's Word illuminate principles and themes that we can apply to our financial lives. You know, we tend not to write on kind of the mechanics of financial decision-making like we talk about specifically here on the program. But yeah, a lot of content on our site at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com.
Thank you very much, Rob. All right. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah, and God bless you, sir. Thank you for your call today. Let me take just a moment and talk about a question that was asked before the break, because I think, you know, this perhaps might have been something that was confusing to some folks out there. We were talking to Diane. She was asking about online banks, and she referenced an article that I did not see. I'm going to go look for it after the show in the Wall Street Journal, talking about banking intermediaries. And you might say, what in the world is that? This is becoming more popular in the age of what we call fintech, financial technology. So, you know, fintech apps are springing up all over the place, apps that'll, you know, everything from they search out and find, you know, subscriptions that you've got where you subscribe to a service or a streaming service or an app. And, you know, it's just kind of churning in the background and you need to cancel a bunch of those. Or it might be an app like the FaithFi app that helps you manage your budget. Or it might be an investing app like Robinhood that allows you to invest through a smartphone app. And so this is, you know, just whole areas exploding. Well, one of the things that's happening in the midst of this FinTech rage is essentially where third-party platforms are sitting on top of banks, and they're acting as a middleman, these FinTech companies and apps and websites, between the consumer and the traditional bank. And so they might provide innovative financial services to the consumer, a digital wallet or payment processing or a savings platform or even a white-labeled bank. You know, driven by their smartphone app and technology. And the bank that actually is holding the money, which is actually the one that has the FDIC insurance, is a third party. It's not the one that you're doing business with. They're kind of a little bit further down the chain. And it can create some challenges, you know, if, for instance, something were to happen to the fintech company. Even though your money is there and should be protected, it could create some disruptions in terms of how quickly you can access that money just because of, you know, it's a little bit further down the line. So what would be the way to remedy that? Well, you could ensure that you're only doing business with, in terms of a banking partner, that is the actual bank that has the FDIC insurance. And it's specifically for your banking activities. Perhaps consider not using one of these fintech companies or white label companies that sit on top of a bank and act as a middleman. And the way you would do that would be you could, you know, number one, you could just ask customer support at the platform support team, who holds the funds and how does the FDIC insurance apply? Second, you could check the terms and conditions because it will list, you know, who holds your deposits. And, you know, you could ensure that you're using direct banking services. Now, keep in mind, Diane's original question was around specifically online banks. And just because it's an online bank doesn't mean that it's, you know, an intermediary. Most of the online banks are actually banks. They're the ones that are holding the deposits. They're the ones with the FDIC insurance. So even though you're using an online bank without a brick and mortar branch, you're still in a direct banking relationship. What you're going to want to do is look for, you know, whether there's a partnership there that's one removed from the bank. Again, that's not all online banks, but you just maybe want to look at that before you make a decision to, you know, open an account somewhere. So hopefully that provides just a little further context on a situation. I don't want to get too far into the weeds, but I did think that perhaps some of you may have been concerned or even just curious about what is a bank intermediary and could I be doing business with one? And, you know, I think it's just important to know that if that's the situation you're in. All right, we're going to take our final break, and then when we come back, we're going to dive into some more questions today. Cindy's been waiting patiently in Indianapolis wanting to talk about home equity loans. We've got Lou in Fort Lauderdale, and then we'll head up to Chattanooga, Tennessee, and talk to Linda. We'll be right back after this break. Stay with us.
The Middle East, that's one part of the world we need to pay attention to, especially the country of Israel. Each week, I'll help you make sense of what's happening in that region through a biblical lens. I'll bring you important information about security threats, archaeological discoveries, biblical prophecy, ministries happening on the ground, and much more. I'm John Riley. Join me for the Middle East Report Special Edition every Saturday at 6:30 p.m. Central on American Family Radio as I connect you to the people, places, and geography of what we read in God's Word.
Bookstores offer countless resources on how to be more successful in every area of life. But what about being more successful in the Christian life? This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress turns to the Book of Philippians for insight on pleasing God, balancing our citizenship between earth and heaven, and living a worry-free life. Listen all this week to Pathway to Victory.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today, helping you apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions. Let's head to Indianapolis. Cindy, thanks for your patience. Go right ahead.
Hi. I have credit card debt, about $21,000, and I have some of that balance on credit cards with zero interest for an interim until I can figure this out. But I was inquiring about these home equity loans, and I've also heard of, I'm thinking it's called a home investment loan, which is different than HELOCs. I just need to know your mindset.
Okay, yeah, sure. Cindy, give me just a rundown of the debt you have that you're concerned about. How much and where is it?
It's $21,000, and it's on various credit cards.
Okay, got it. And you're playing the balance transfer game, jumping around to keep it at 0%?
Yes.
Okay. And are you, once your bills are paid for the month and you pay just the minimum payments, how much do you have left over, if any, on a typical month?
It's really hard for me to say because I haven't really figured that out.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that would be important. I mean, I'm not a fan of using home equity, whether it's a HELOC or a home equity loan. The difference is a home equity line of credit gives you an access to a line, so you're able to tap into the home's equity or a portion of it. But through the line, you don't have to take it until you need it. And typically while the line's open, maybe like, let's say 10 years, whatever you take out at any point, you just pay interest on it, but you don't have to pay anything back. And if you do pay it back, it becomes available to you again. So it's just kind of an open line of credit that's available. It tends to be variable rates, so the rates move with the interest rates. That's different than what's often called a home equity loan. A home equity or a home investment loan would typically be for a rental property, but a home equity loan is where you'd take a set amount of money at closing. So when you close on the second mortgage, if you've already got a first mortgage, they give you a specific amount, and then you start a scheduled repayment at that day forward. Let's say it's a 15-year repayment. You pay principal and interest until it's paid off. But, you know, that money doesn't become available to you again as you pay it back. You get it all up front, and then you just pay it back based on the schedule. And typically, that has a fixed interest rate. So those are the differences between the two. However, I don't like either of those in this case, because what you have right now is what's called unsecured debt. So if something happened and you couldn't pay for it, they could go after you and get a judgment against you. They couldn't, you know, take your home, and, you know, there's no collateral attached to this. It's not a good thing. We need to honor our debts, but there's limited recourse. As soon as you take this and now attach it to your house is serving as collateral for this debt. So if you don't pay it, they can foreclose on your home. That's number one. Number two is there's costs involved in putting this home equity loan or line of credit in place. You know, even though it's a lower interest rate than you would get if you let the 0% run out and it jumps up to 25, often the payback is much longer. So you end up spending more than you think. So what would be my alternative? Well, my preference would be, Cindy, that you use something called debt management. It's essentially where you use a credit counseling agency like our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org. They would the accounts would be temporarily closed while you're paying them off. The interest rate would be fixed at whatever their prevailing rate is for credit counseling, usually between 0 and 8%. And then you'd have a scheduled monthly payment that fits into your budget, and they'd work up your budget with you. And then you'd pay one monthly payment to Christian Credit Counselors. They'd send it on to your creditors. You'd be done playing the Pallets transfer game, which, you know, usually involves a fee of, you know, 2 or 3% every time you do it. Even if you're getting 0% for 18 months, you'd be done with that. And now you would know that every, you know, a good portion of every payment is going to principal, which allows you to get it paid off 80% faster. So that would be my preference. It also tends to lead to better long-term outcomes, because normally what I hear is when somebody calls me and says, hey, Rob, I'm going to get another loan, whether it's attached to their house or not, I'm going to wipe out my credit card debt. They normally don't fix the problem that led to the credit card debt in the first place, which is lifestyle spending beyond their means. And then they call me back 6 months later and say, well, guess what? You know, now I got the home equity loan and the credit card debt's back. So that's why I would like for you to consider at least Christian Credit Counselors for the reasons I mentioned. But does that all make sense to you?
Absolutely.
Good.
Particularly the one where it doesn't fix the problem.
Yes, yes.
That I would have to work on for sure.
Okay, good. Well, they're going to start by telling you how everything works, praying with you, but also helping you put a budget together. And the key to solving this long-term, Cindy, is for you to get on a budget that balances, where we've got a system to control the flow of money. We're not spending beyond our means. You know, we have a system to curb spending when we get low, you know, in any one category throughout the month. And that's going to take some work, but it's worth it, because once these credit cards are paid off, we don't ever want to go back here. So the place to go is ChristianCreditCounselors.org. And call me back anytime. You've been a joy to talk to. Fort Lauderdale, Florida is where we're headed next. My hometown. Lou, go right ahead.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I've come into a small inheritance, and it's in my parents passed away.
All right.
And it's in their 401B, 403B.
Yes.
I have a 403B also on my own. So I'm wondering what is the best way to transfer the money, whether I should get an IRA and pay tax on it up front, or just transfer it into my 403B.
Yeah. You know, as a non-spouse beneficiary, because this was your mom and dad, you generally cannot roll an inherited 403B into your own 403B. And so typically what would happen is you would roll it to an inherited IRA, which does not require you to pay any tax on it right now. And then you would have to follow the IRS rules with regard to how long you have to pull this out, probably 10 years. And so if you don't need the money, and you might want to check with a financial advisor or a tax professional who could, you know, go over your specific situation. But typically what you would do is you would reach out to the company or financial institution that manages your parents' 403B. You would provide the death certificate, proof of your identity, and any documentation showing your relationship. The plan administrator will confirm that you or you and your siblings were the named beneficiaries on the account. And if that's the case, then they would ask you what distribution option you want. And rather than taking it all out and paying tax on it all at once, you'd probably want to put it into an inherited IRA, which is a rollover, and that does not require you to pay any tax. And then you would probably have to withdraw the entire balance within 10 years of the inheritance. And as you pull it out, you would pay the tax on it then. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, okay. I understand that.
Excellent. Okay. So those are your next steps, Lou, and I'm sorry to hear about your mom and dad's passing, but I hope that was helpful to you. Lord bless you. Let's go to Chattanooga. Hi, Linda. Go ahead.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for your call.
What I was calling to ask is we happen to have some major work done on our home, and we don't want to really borrow any money. So me and my husband was thinking about taking some out of our 401 to take care of it, because leaving it unrepaired is just going to make it worse or make it more difficult for it to be repaired, if that makes sense.
It does, yeah. Certain repairs, you know, are causing bigger problems for the home that are going to end up being more costly down the road, not to mention could pose a safety hazard here. So, yeah, there are certain things we just need to get done. I'm not a big fan of taking on debt. I'm also not a big fan of pulling money out of the 401k, just because, you know, number one, that money's there to grow for the future. It wouldn't be while at least, you know, if you're borrowing it, at least while it's temporarily out. And then if you were to separate from your employer, it all becomes taxable and you may have a penalty. So typically I would say, especially if we're doing things that are going to preserve the value of the home or even improve it, I'd get a small home equity loan just to, you know, only borrow what's needed and pay it back as quickly as you can and let that money continue to grow in your 401k and try to fund as much of it as you can, you know, out of current cash flow. You know, perhaps even rather than taking money out of the 401k, temporarily reducing the amount of money going into the 401k so your cash flow goes up, and then you take a portion of that plus the small amount you borrow, hopefully less than you thought, and you fund, you know, as much of that as you can out of your monthly spending, and only do what you can or what you have to, and then try to save for the rest that might be, you know, beyond what's really necessary right now. That would be my best advice. Would it be terrible for you to pull it out of the 401k? No. I mean, when you're paying it back, you're paying interest to yourself. I like that. I just don't like that, you know, it's no longer growing for the future. You're missing out on all those returns. And again, if you were to have a job loss or a change of employer, you know, you'd have a problem there just because you'd have to send so much of it to the IRS. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. It's just that we can't afford to take on any more debt, and this issue been going on for a while.
How much do you need to spend on the stuff that's critical?
It's $24,000.
Okay, yeah. So even by you reducing what's going into the 401k as new contributions, that's still not going to get the job done, you know, on a monthly basis. So, yeah, I mean, you certainly could look at borrowing from that 401k. I would just try to get it back in as much as you can or as quickly as you can. Perhaps the other option is split the difference, you know, borrow half and get the 401k for the other half. But if it's mission critical, you got to get it done. You're creating a real problem here. You probably do need to find out some way to do it. And I think either of these could work. Thanks for your call. That's going to do it for us today, folks. Thanks to my team, Devin Patrick, Pat Montague, and Jim Henry. Couldn't do it without them. Thank you for being here as well. Hope you have a great rest of your day and come back and join us tomorrow. Lord willing, I'll be here and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.